Well, good morning. I want you to know it's not by accident that each person is in this auditorium this morning. God in his sovereignty has something for each one of us. Maybe it's part of the worship set. Maybe it's what we're going to have here in a little bit. But I'm super glad that you guys are all here this morning, that we can experience this together and experience what God has for us. I'm super excited. This week kicks off our annual Missions Week, and we've got a bunch of stuff planned this week. Starting with every day, you're going to receive via Facebook or email prayer requests from our different prayer missions partners. And the cool part about that, besides just praying for them and lifting them up to God, is you're going to be able to learn a little bit more about their context and who they are, where they're serving, and some of those kinds of things. So it gives you an opportunity to get to know them a little bit better. And I don't know if any of you guys, how many of you have experienced Taste of Missions, but this would be the year to jump in. This Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. right here in this auditorium, we transform it into a bunch of round tables, and we're going to be journeying, doing some virtual travel to some different places where our missions partners serve. A couple specific places we're going to kind of focus in on would be Iran and some of the issues they've had there. We've had a long-term missions partner we've worked with over there. And then also Papua New Guinea, and get to hear what God's doing over there. And so I would really encourage you to take a look at your calendar. It's a free meal. There's something for all ages, so it's very family friendly. So just come and join us on Wednesday from 6 to 8, and I think you'll be blessed by hearing how we're growing as a sending church and how God wants you to maybe be involved with him through that. In just a little bit, we're going to hear from Caleb Schneidwent, our interim missions pastor. I'm really excited for Caleb to be able to open the word and share with us specifically how God wants us to join him in what he's already doing in the world. We've been talking about that series, and it isn't just a theoretical thing. God wants us to be engaged with him throughout the world. As I close my time this morning, I just wanted to thank you for your giving, but I want to focus on one aspect of where, you know, your giving supports a lot of different things, but because it's Missions Week, I want to tell you about how it helps fuel and fund us supporting missions partners. Many of you maybe already know, but some of you don't. When missionaries go out, they don't get a salary from their missions organization. In fact, they have to raise their entire support. And so they go to various friends and family, church they're involved in, maybe other churches that they have a good relationship with, and they just say, hey, would you prayerfully consider supporting us? And part of your giving allows us to support a portion of what a missionary needs as they go to these foreign countries. So thank you very much for that. Let's pray and we'll continue our service. Lord, thank you so much for what you've already done for each one of us. Your power in our lives is incredible. I pray, Lord, that you would meet each one here this morning where they need you. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to maybe hear in a different way your call to the nations and your love for people and really how you want to invest in us as we join you in engaging in the world. Pray for Caleb, just that he'd be able to share what you've laid on his heart and teach the word in a powerful way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. I always expect a like coming soon to a theaters near you at the end of all those videos. But no. Well, my name is Caleb Schneidwent. And like Scott said, I serve as our interim missions pastor and resident pastor here at the church. And this fall, actually, my wife, Ellie, coincidentally Scott's daughter, and my daughter are moving down to Missouri to continue training to be cross-cultural missionaries. So we are very excited about that. Well, for the last 3 weeks, we have been in this series, What in the World is Going On? Where we've been looking at how we are to live in the midst of the things that are going on around us. And it's no news to us that we live in a broken world, a world full of hate and murder, war, shootings, natural disasters. The list could go on and on, where these things can lead us to the question, what in the world is going on? We've been taking a look at visions and prophecies that God has given of what's to come in the future in hopes that it would change how we live today. And so I want to ask us the question, what in the world is God doing? Because if we are in this space between Christ's first coming and second coming, what is God doing now? And I think that this is one of the most important questions we can ask. Because as believers, if we don't know what God is doing, how are we supposed to know what we should be doing? So the question, what in the world is God doing? And to answer this question, it starts back at the beginning of history. So back in Genesis, we're going to be doing a super quick overview. God gave the marching orders to Adam to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And that didn't mean just having babies, but it meant to fill the earth with people who know him, who are in relationship with him. And we know this is where sin entered the world. And sin continued to be rampant, and so God washed the earth clean with the flood. And then God gave those same exact marching orders to Noah. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And then a couple chapters later, this brings us to Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. And so Genesis 11, 1-9. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there with me. Genesis 11, 1-9. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves and a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. And so even back in the day of Adam, God wanted the whole world to be filled with people who know him. And God told Adam and then Noah to fill the earth. And in this passage, we see man's blatant disobedience to God. They wanted to settle and make a name for themselves. Said, "Look at this great tower we built. Look at this city we've established." But then God scattered them all over the earth. And this is where we see the creation of languages and nations or people groups. And in Genesis 12, God responds to the creation of the nations with this promise to Abraham. Genesis 12, 1-3. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt." And get this, All the families on earth will be blessed through you. And so God told Abram or Abraham that he was going to bless the whole world through him. And as we follow the descendants of Abraham through the Old Testament, we're waiting to see who's going to be this blessing. So God provides Abraham and Sarah with Isaac. And then it's Jacob that God chooses. God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And then from there, it's Judah. And we follow that lineage all the way to King David, and then through Joseph and Mary. 28 generations in all, from Abraham to Jesus Christ the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for, the one who will fulfill this promise to Abraham, the blessing for all the earth. And then fast forward, Christ starts his earthly ministry. He recruits these 12 men, teaching them truths about the kingdom, performing miracles, fulfilling prophecies, and then he's betrayed. Christ is crucified. He's hung on a cross. And then 3 days later, he's resurrected, and Christ reveals himself to the disciples, and he tells them this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so today, here in Matthew, and from the beginning, it was God's heart to have the earth filled with people who know him, who are in relationship with him. And so this is the answer to the question, what in the world is God doing? God wants the whole earth to be filled with people who love him, who worship him, who are in relationship with him. God wants a representative from every tribe, tongue, and nation around the throne for eternity. And this is what we're reminded of this week, that God has given us this command, his church. That's you. And that's me. And that's to bring the good news of the Redeemer to the nations so that the earth may be filled with disciples. And so every year we have Missions Week, or Missions Emphasis Week. One, to remember and celebrate what God is doing all around the world through our partners. And two, to be reminded of this command, to this invitation, the Great Commission. That our lives are part of something much bigger than ourselves. That God has us here for this massive global purpose. Christ's words in Matthew 24, 14 says, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." And so we long for the days of Christ's second coming. But there are people who haven't even heard of his first coming. And so according to Joshua Project, an organization that serves the global church by tracking where the biggest needs for the gospel are around the world, as of April 2026, there are around 16,405 people groups all around the world. And so that's 8.1 billion people on the planet. And there are 7,144 unreached people groups. That's 3.5 billion people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. That means there are zero churches. That there are zero Christian witnesses in one of the areas. That they have no chance to hear the gospel. That's 3.5 billion people, souls, who have never heard the good news. And they will never hear unless someone goes and shares it with them. That means someone in one of these areas can be born, live their entire lives, and die without ever hearing who Christ is and what he's done for them. And so my wife, Ellie, and I had the chance to go to one of these unreached people groups in Asia 2 summers ago. And the missionaries we're staying with were trying to move into this tribe. So they're building relationships with this tribe. And so we get in the car, we drive down like the only road on this side of the island. We pull over in the middle of nowhere, take a short hike up through the jungle. And in just that afternoon, they walked us through just a snippet of the spirits that they would try to appease. They would hang pig jowls from the ceiling in order to keep the spirits happy. When a woman would give birth in the birth hut, they would take the placenta as an offering to the spirits. And this isn't fun cultural facts. This is bondage. This tribe isn't just living out in the jungle at one with nature. They're living in bondage and fear. And they're living with no hope. And as we walked through the village, you could just feel the darkness, the heaviness that was there in a place that has never heard of Christ. And so there's only 2 ways to be involved in taking the good news to the nations. You're either a goer or a sender. You're either sent out from the local church or are sending people out from the local church. And so by sending, we mean being actively involved in supporting those who are sent. Most importantly, by praying, hearing about the needs of those we send, and lifting those things up to God in prayer. And like Scott mentioned, as part of Missions Week, we're gonna be sending out prayer requests each day from our partners. So you'll get an email from me, and there'll be posts on Facebook and Instagram. And so just take a moment, watch through those videos, and then take a minute or two to pray and lift those needs up to God in prayer. The other way is, of course, using your resources that the Lord has provided you with. Maybe helping practically when a partner comes back with groceries or a ride from the airport, a place to stay, toys or winter coats for their kids. Or maybe it's supporting those financially who go. Either way, both are necessary if we are to complete this task, this command that Christ has given us. John says in 3 John, so that we may be partners in sharing the truth. And so we're going to have a panel where we're going to take a look at what does it look like practically for those in our body? What does it look like for those to go and be sent? And what does it look like to send? And throughout this week, the panel, and even we'll have a closing song, I would just ask or encourage you to just reflect, to just seek the Lord and ask him what role he would ask you to play, what maybe he would ask you to step into in this season. Maybe it's what partner to support financially, maybe what pit crew to join, and we'll talk more about pit crews on the panel. Maybe it's what monthly missions events to attend here at WCC. Every first Sunday, we have missions prayer, where we gather and hear updates from our missions partners. And every third Sunday, we have G3, or Gospel Going Global, where we hear about ways that God is working in each one of our partners. Not each one, but one of them on those Sundays. Or maybe he's asking you to go on a short-term trip, or even go and bring the news of the Redeemer to people who have never heard. And so, let's hear from our panel.
Thanks, Caleb. As the panel's kind of getting set up, I want to like kind of help us understand that we talk about this concept of ascending church, and God in his infinite wisdom understands that it's such a win-win when we get to participate with what he's doing in the lives of the different people that are sent out from our church. And maybe you know other people sent out from other, you know, churches and things like that, and you have a relationship with them. And so I just can't emphasize enough what a cool thing, I know it's been for me personally, to be involved with missionaries throughout the world in joining God. Well, let me do a quick intro of our panel. Thank you guys for being willing to be up here. Everybody probably knows Todd and Karen Gerst. Along with their four kids, Todd and Karen were tribal church planters in Papua New Guinea. They moved in with a Malleus tribe and lived there for 15 years, translated the New Testament, no small feat. I know how Todd talks, and so I can imagine what it was like for him to actually translate. But an amazing work of God with their partners. They were able to reach the Malleus with the good news of Christ and then plant a church. And now since then, that church has gone on to plant, what's the number up to now?
Six.
Six churches from that initial church. Yeah. Yeah. Next, we have Sarah Shoup. Sarah and Brad play a key role with our missionary partners. They use their giftedness, their time to help debrief. And for those of you that maybe aren't familiar with that concept, debriefing is really a process of asking reflective questions, allowing the Lord to speak into their lives. As you can imagine, when missionaries go on the field, they face all kinds of difficult things, challenges, family issues, partner issues, all those kinds of things. And I think for them to have a place and a safe place where they can come and process with people that love them, put them before the Lord, that's what Brad and Sarah do for some of our missions partners. And it's just an incredible ministry that Brad and Sarah have, and Sarah's gonna represent, you know, that perspective. And then lastly we have Amy Tidball. And so Amy, her heart was moved a few years ago to get more involved. She's already involved in lots of places in our church. And she was willing to step up and lead a pit crew for Jeffrey and Rachel Vaughn, who are considering ministering in Papua New Guinea as well. And so Amy opens up her house, and they basically on a monthly basis do a video call with Jeffrey and Rachel. And the cool part about a pit crew, I think, I'm part of another pit crew, and the neat part about it is that it's another like small group, so you get to know those people relationally in your group, and you get to kind of support and care for each other. But the best part is you get an inside track of what God's doing every step along the way in this missionary's life. And so Amy's going to share from her perspective on what that's like. And so our whole idea behind this panel was to give you guys the understanding that, like Caleb said, you're either a sender or you're a goer. Most of us are going to be senders. Most of us are not going to do what Todd and Karen did. And so we just want to hear from them a little bit. So, Gers, let's start with you guys. You're over in PNG. What are one or two practical ways that your sending church, WCC, encouraged you that made a real difference for you while you were over there?
Well, I'm just going to make it simple, kind of like Caleb did. When we asked WCC to be our sending church, there were three ways that were very evident that they supported us in. And the first one was prayer. I remember I had ladies choosing a day a month. They would sign up and a day a month. They would pray for me, and that would be their day every month over the course of the time I was on the field. I also know when they sent us out, they prayed for us, and they continued to pray for us while we were on the field. And, you know, we didn't have internet or email or anything like that, so it was snail mail and prayer letters. But they prayed for us, and we knew that, and that sustained us there while we were on the field. And then a third way is that they sent work teams. And the first term that we were there 5 years, and they sent two work teams, which actually blew us away. And that was really cool. And I even remember they sent another team, and I remember someone from the church, I don't know if it was Todd or Scott. Was it Scott? Said, if you could choose, would you want us to just send the money or send the team? And we said, send the team. Anyways, I don't know if you care if I do this, but I'm looking out and I want to say, if you prayed for us, came to see us,
supported us
financially, would you stand up? I'd really like to see you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Sarah, so how can a church care well for its missionaries besides just financial support, but emotionally and relationally? What are some practical ways?
I was thinking about this question and praying about it this week, and God gave me a word about this. It was kind of cool. But in Bible study, the study was on Nehemiah, and in the third chapter in Nehemiah, the Israelites are all gathered as a work team, as a team to rebuild the wall. And they were faced with all kinds of challenges, attacks, spiritual attacks and physical attacks. So Nehemiah divides the team up and he makes half of them the workers and the other half put on armor and they get spears and they get shields and they're standing there protecting those workers. And that's what this is. That's what God gave me this week. And so how do we do that practically? You know, our missionaries are just like us, and they need care. They're out there. They're doing this hard labor, this work. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about praying for them, but that is the most important thing. But there's other things when they're back. I think first of all, if you don't know who they are, find out who they are. There's a kiosk in the front where you can get a card. And in our home, we put those cards up, and then we have their faces and their names, and we can remember them and pray for them. And then find out what they're doing. You know, we've got one of our missionaries back today. Welcome back, Summer. And welcome back, Summer. And we love you, and we care for you, and we want to know what is going on in your life over there. We haven't forgotten you, and that's what they need to feel, that they're not forgotten, that they're not out of sight, out of mind, and just practical ways. If you're a doctor or you're a dentist or you're an educator, whatever you have, you can help. They may need their teeth cleaned. You know, they may need, you know, just things like that, practical.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Amy, so help us understand, you know, you've got this missionary partner that's not in Warsaw, so you can't invite them out for dinner and have a meal with them. How do you guys go about, like, what's that monthly gathering look like?
Yeah, so we were able to start our pit crew with the Vons here in town, so that helped us in the sense that we got to know them really well. We got to be a part of that send-off. And now we really rely on WhatsApp, which is a texting program that you can use for what will continue on internationally. But we just gather once a month. We hear their requests. We've had care packages sent down either with somebody traveling down there or getting it to them when they come back for visits. And then we just are encouraging. So when we connect with them, we listen to all aspects of what they're dealing with. They share about how classes are going, how life is going. They have two littles. They are not far away yet, but they were in a new place, and so they're getting to know and getting connected out there, and we're just a big support system. So it's intentional conversations, it's intentional follow-up, and you know, we try to connect weekly just with texting or emails. They send out a monthly email that we read and respond to, and responding to those emails can make a huge impact. So reading it is one thing, but actually taking an aspect of that and responding back and noting that, it really helps. It makes them feel heard and seen, and it's just, we all like getting mail. We all like getting comments from people about things that, you know, we're going through, and help with that.
Yeah, great. Todd and Karen, what you guys went, what help us, what's one or two things you might want the congregation that they might not understand about what it's like to actually be over in the field and just what that entails?
I guess I have to answer this one too. I think I'm going to piggyback off of Ellie's video, and then even what Caleb was saying, what everybody's saying is that we're just regular people, but we're living halfway around the world on a mission field, and we struggle with a lot of the same things that everybody does, and we don't need people to hyper-spiritualize us in any way. We're just, in fact, Todd and I said yes to go, but we don't feel like we are very good missionaries. If you know, we just weren't. It was hard. And I guess for people to understand that, and it's lonely. And just to continue to encourage them and support them, I would say.
All right. Sarah, when you debrief missionaries, what are some of the common struggles or themes you hear as they come back off the field?
Yeah, so my husband and I have been in this ministry for the last 5 years. We've done several debriefs. And, you know, like Karen said, they're going through the same kinds of things that we go through. Lots of things that this is part of a broken world. Losing parents, losing children, losing, even just going is a loss. You're losing friendships. You're separating yourself from that, purposefully putting yourself in isolation for the calling that God's put on you. And so those things are just really, really difficult to go through for all of us. We all go through that. But the key difference for us sitting here, we have cultural comfortability. So we're in a place that's familiar. We've built up hopefully a good network of friends and support group. That's what the missionary who goes gives up. And so there's kind of a special element there that takes a lot of care. And so God's given us a really beautiful process. It's biblical. It's mapped out. And Brad and I were very privileged to go and get trained in this. You know, this is the orthopedic capital of the world. And we know here, if you break a bone, you got to set it correctly in order for it to heal. And, in Isaiah, it says he comes to bind up our broken hearts and our wounds. And that's what this process that we walk the missionaries through will help do. So it's really nothing that we're doing. It's just a facilitation where the missionary can come and spend an intentional about a week. But it's a lot of time with the Holy Spirit, bringing these burdens, bringing these challenges, all the things like conflict with workers, all the things that really hurt us just as people. Another thing that they go through besides just the human conflict is they're also under constant spiritual attack. Satan is very active in not wanting we talk about the rebuilding of the temple, the wall, but the temple being built now for Jesus is us. We are the temple, and adding people to that temple. Satan doesn't want that to happen. And so those spiritual attacks are heavy and hard to bear, but God is the ultimate healer, and he binds up those wounds. And through the love and support of you guys, these missionaries can get back to their calling after they come home for a while and are cared for. So that's what we just try to do, is care for them well.
Yeah, that's great. Amy, what are some different ways that people in the room can participate in missions, even if they never go overseas? What are some practical ways?
Well, I think a lot have been mentioned already. Sure. And if you're anything like me, hearing them more than once is probably beneficial. So I'll repeat a few that kind of stuck out with me or that encouraged me to step into the role as well. And the first and foremost for me was just starting with prayer and that intentional conversation with God about what do you want me to do with the gifts that you've already given me? I'm at a place in my life where I'm sure a lot of us are, where we're not always looking to add new skills to our skill sets. You know, we're kind of good with where we're at, and we do things well, or sometimes I don't do the things well that I already know how to do. So I don't want to add more new things to my list. So I just really prayed through, what do I have to give? What am I good at? How can I step in without adding too much? That's a great entry point. And through that, it's built, and I've gotten more involved in more of that. But the entry point was just that easy conversation. And then I had the pleasure of meeting Jeffrey and Rachel through Coffee and Connections here at church, actually, and we attended Wyoming together. And there was the next conversation. Jeffrey and I sat over just some snacks at Wyoming, and I could tell he was ready to go, and he was on fire, and we had an intentional conversation. And again, it's just that building of relationships and leaning into those. So starting with prayer is great. The emails this week is a great addition. It's an easy thing. You can do that from your phone at the comfort of your home. Like, you don't have to leave anywhere to do that. But read the emails, pray over the missions partners, and then ask God, is this something you want me to step further into? And then come to Missions Taste Night. My family and I will be here. Tonight we don't have to make dinner, and they get to some exposure to it as well, and starting that next generation, getting them involved. But those are all easy things from here, from church. You're already familiar with church. And then from there, you just build. It will look different for all of us because God's given us different things. But any one of the missions teams, people would be willing to have a conversation with you to see where you might be a good fit, because there's a fit for everyone, and there's a spot waiting for you. But through our pit crew, we were able, the nice thing about a pit crew is that it's a team. Like, it's not just me that meets at my house. There's a group of us that come together. We all have different skill sets, and it doesn't always have to be just one person, and we can send somebody down. And we've had people visit missions partners farther away that were able to, or headed that way anyway. And it makes an impact. It makes a difference. I was able to visit someone, and they still talk about it, of just how meaningful that was, that somebody came and somebody acknowledged them and brought the church to them. And that's really what it is. It's just bringing the church and keeping the church with our partners that are not with us here physically. And so it just kind of brings that to a smaller, and there's lots of ways to fit in, and I could list a ton, but talk to me after service.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Todd, you're not going to get out of a question here. You can't have to.
I thought it was just eye candy up here.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I won't even touch that one. If you could describe how WCC as a sending church can grow, what would it be doing before missionaries go, while they're on the field, and when they return? How can we grow as a sending church?
Yeah, well, the idea of a sending church, that we recognize that this is God's command on this church, and that it's not just something we do, it's who we are. And so we would be actively engaged, and God would be raising up people from this body, and the rest of us then would get behind them and support them, so we'd actually have a partnership with them, that the work that they're doing, wherever they're at, wherever God assigns them, wherever he sends them, that we would simply be partnering, that we actually would own that in the same way that God would call us into serving others. And that's just a simple way to think about it. I think about pre-field, it's getting to know them. I think you heard a good example of the relationships. And I'll tell you what, if you hang out with some people that are at that place in their life where they're surrendering their career, their future, their finances, their relationships, because the call that God has on them, you are going to be encouraged. You're going to see and feel some of their passion. And you'll be encouraged yourself to trust God in more areas in your own life because you're seeing them do that. So I think the pre-field, like before they go, the relationships, the pit crew is such a simple way. I think once they get on the field, it's actually to know them. That was said, read their prayer letters, and actually know what's going on. That's what partners do. It's not like, hey, they're doing their thing, and maybe they'll get back here in a couple years, and we'll catch up then. It's actually engaging. And the pit crew is such a great way. We're in a couple, and it's just a great way to connect and stay connected and be able to pray intelligently. I was going to do a joke, not really, but I was just thinking one in my head, and it's just, well, we're just praying for all the missionaries. I don't know if you know, like, we're just praying for the missionaries. No, praying for them as individuals, as families, in the challenges that they face, that they'll share, particularly if we're praying for them. And then I think when people come back, we were so blessed. And I think about the support we had from the church. It wasn't just the corporate aspect, the collective aspect of WCC being our home church. That was there. That was crucial for us, so important. But it was actually the individuals that supported us, and Karen had them stand up. That's not all of them. But there were people that actually stood with us and partnered with us for years, 20 years, supporting us and praying for us, caring about us. When we came home, we actually had a place to stay. Talking about practical things, we had a place to stay, and somebody loaned us their vehicle. This happened more than once. Somebody intentionally, and the house was actually furnished by people in this church. And you're moving for a year, and you're going back to what's supposed to be home, and you have nothing. You have a suitcase, and your kids only have a suitcase. So the love that we felt and the practical needs that were taken care of because people understood some of the aspects of what we were going through, And they just put themselves in our position of what it would be like to move back and to not have anything. And just so very practically made all the difference in the world for us. And I hope they all felt, and I hope that we feel that we're partnering with those that we're sending.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for the roles that you guys have played and continue to play. And please join me in thanking them. Well, as we wind down our service, we're going to have one last song. And what I would just ask you to do is just as you sing the song and reflect on it, ask the Lord what he maybe has for you. Maybe there's a way that he's been nudging you. Maybe there's an idea you heard up here. Talk to any one of us. We'd love to help you get engaged. I just tell people often, you don't know what you're missing out on by getting up close to the Lord's work, by coming alongside a missionary that's been sent. Thanks.
Well, we have some of these cards laying around. They're Next Steps cards. If you feel like God is asking you to step into something or you just want more information, you can mark on here the different things that you want more information about and turn it in at the Info Center. If you did not get one at your seat, there are some available at the Info Center. But let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to gather this morning. Lord, being able to praise your name and hear your word, God, we just thank you for that. God, I pray that you would guide us. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us whatever steps that might be next. Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and eyes to you. God, thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a great week, and we will see you Wednesday.